It took a quarantine to put the sports into esports. Much as you've heard about the growth of esports, the truth is that when people talk about esports as a commercial property, they're generally talking about video games that have nothing to do with traditional sports. It's not Madden or NBA 2K or MLB The Show or FIFA. It's League of Legends and Counter-Strike. Fantasy games and shooter games. That was esports. And then, actual flesh and blood sports shut down. We'll explore the window to the mainstream that the last 2 months created for sports video game publishers with the head of competitive gaming for EA Sports on this episode of SBJ Unpacks. I'm Bill King, joined now by Todd Citrin, Senior Vice President of Competitive Gaming for Electronic Arts, the EA in EA Sports. Todd, in these last 2 months, closing in on 3 months now, most people have found themselves limited in the places they can go, the things they can do, quarantined at least some degree, depending on where you live, but quarantined most likely to some degree. A lot of people working from home. We know that as a result, more people are spending time playing video games, and I suspect sports fans are playing more sports games. What can you tell us about that? Can you help us quantify that? And what has it meant to the competitive gaming landscape?
Yeah, there's absolutely no doubt, Bill, that over these last few months, people just wanted to play more games, whether that's because they just want to escape into that world or whether it's the social interaction that they have with others or for a host of other reasons. There's absolutely no doubt that we've seen a dramatic increase in game players. But we're also seeing it happen inside of our esports broadcast. We're seeing broadcasts that we would normally do be, 40% up, 100% up, 2X, 3X, those sorts of numbers from what we would normally see. So there's absolutely no doubt that with people being at home, they're seeking out entertainment, and sports fans in particular are seeking out sports entertainment. And right now, that is either playing or watching sports esports games.
Well, there's something I think anyway that was interesting that came out that has come out of this, and that's for years now when people would talk about esports, for about as long as people have been using the phrase esports, I would have to remind them, especially if they really didn't know what they were talking about. I would say, there's not a lot of sports to esports, the competitive video game landscape that's out there. When you're thinking about Madden, you're thinking about NBA, you're thinking about FIFA, you're thinking about all those games, those sports games. There was not a real vibrant competitive gaming landscape around those games, especially really until the last. It's gotten better, obviously, in the last year. But I wonder, in these last few months, has that changed at all because we've had this different dynamic of what it is that people were watching when it came to esports?
You're absolutely right that, in the history of esports, and esports have been around in some form around the world for about 20 years, but esports started with non-sports oriented games, pretty hardcore experiences that really required a lot of in-depth knowledge to understand what was going on. And really, that's why EA created the competitive gaming division, was to change that landscape. And so we started our team a little over 4 years ago. And we've been executing in market now for over 3 years at that time. And our goal has really been to take esports and to move it into the mainstream audience. And we feel like when you take, traditional sports games like our Madden NFL game for American football or FIFA for soccer, and you take those games that are very accessible, you can move esports into a mainstream audience. What we've seen over the last, couple months is that mainstream audience has dramatically opened up, and they're available now, as we were just talking about. They're at home, and they'll have time to consume. But beyond that, you're seeing people who control the distribution, specifically television networks, with the reduction of traditional sports.
Right.
You can turn on any of the sports networks now, and what you're seeing is rebroadcasting things from like a decade ago. Now they're saying, hey, we want to take your Madden esports broadcast or your FIFA broadcast or the NHL broadcast, and we want to take those esports and bring them to our traditional sports viewers. And as a result of that, it has just opened up the market and has really sort of changed and I'd say accelerate esports into the mainstream.
There's an interesting dynamic there, and this isn't a podcast about me, but I will share a story. I've got twin boys who are 13, almost 14, and so right in the wheelhouse. And we forever have had this conversation, and I play games with them, but we forever have had this conversation where I would say, I love playing, and I love playing with you guys. I don't want to watch somebody else play. And they would look at me like I have six heads, and we would have that debate that I know lots of parents have with their kids now about whether, or maybe we're at grandparents and their grandkids now, I'm not sure. But that debate, that conversation about, you know, watching somebody else play and why would I possibly want to do that? Tell me a little bit about, because the reason I bring that up now in this context is because seeing it as a television production maybe has altered the way people think of that. What do you know about, from your own, you know, consumer research and your own experiences, about the way that different age groups think of that? And could that be changing as a result of what we're seeing unfold on television now?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. It's one, you know, that I was asked really since the beginning of our competitive gaming group, which is, why would you ever watch a sports broadcast when you can esports broadcast when you can just watch the real thing? And the reality, I think, here is that there's not a lot of difference between watching American football or European football or hockey or basketball. I mean, we're all viewers. We're all spectators. Having somebody run around on a field and watching them, we have the exact same amount of control. Which is none, compared to watching people play a video game. And so really, you know, at the heart of what sports is has always been about the stories. It's always kind of the stories that give the meaning to the games. Is somebody going for a record? Is this team going to make the playoffs? You know, is this person going to get fired? You know, and it's those stories that get told. And they can be told about a whole host of things. And we've seen that, obviously, throughout traditional sports. But we've seen that in a lot of entertainment, right? We all watch competitions of various nature, you know, various areas. You know, American Idol or baking shows or any of those things.
Right.
And we all love the sense of competition if we have an emotional connection. And so that's the key is can you have the emotional connection with either the team, the player, and what's going on. That's what actually gives it meaning. And I think that a lot of people, especially if they have been older in age and haven't themselves been video game players, probably just kind of said, well, that's not for me. We've had this window of opportunity over these last few months where many of those people who might have rejected it because of those reasons have now said, well, at least I'll watch it because it's better than watching something, you know, that's 10 years old that's being broadcast on normal channels. And what they're finding is that, wow, there is that sort of emotional connection and they're starting to build that. So I think this moment in time that we're in has expanded the audience for esports. And what people are realizing of all ages is that the reason we watch is because of the emotional connection to the people that are on the field, and whether that is the field of a video game or whether that's the field of a real life sport, it's kind of the same emotion that we're going through.
Tell me about the benefit that you've seen. I'm sure you guys have seen a benefit from what we've seen largely on television frequently involves players, celebrities playing your games. And that's been the case with Madden and Madden tournaments. It's been the case with NBA 2K. And interestingly, you know, the biggest hit of all this, of course, has been NASCAR with its, you know, with its iGaming product, where you had actual drivers, you know, in these rigs. And so that has resonated for people. What do you think that, what has that meant for you? You know, obviously you guys sell a lot of Madden. You don't need to, you know, there aren't a lot of people out there that aren't aware of Madden, but I'm sure there's certainly a benefit that you've seen from that ability to have programming out there with those athletes playing the game.
Absolutely. When I think about the last few months, I would describe it as just a tectonic shift in the esports landscape. And as I mentioned, it's really about the shift that's been made is about accelerating into the mainstream. And one of those factors has definitely been the use of people who are famous for something other than playing video games. Up to this point, the esports industry has been about trying to get viewers to have an emotional connection to people who are famous for playing video games. And obviously that is a tougher thing to do than to, you know, utilize somebody that is already famous. And so that's where we've gone, because celebrities are also at home. And, you know, Hollywood is shut down and the sports leagues have not been playing. And if we could figure out a way to involve them that made it easy, we could open up and accelerate ourselves in the mainstream. The key for us at EA was, you know, how could we do that technically so that people could stay safe? And we made a big investment in assembling a bunch of technologies that would allow us to produce esports with 100% of everybody being at home. I'm talking about on-air right. talent. I'm talking about right. Competitors, and I'm talking about the entire broadcast team. And once we did that, we were able then to reach out to celebrities and say, you can stay at home, but do you want to join this competition? And what we found is that they do. They want to. And as a result of that, now it's made it that much easier for people who maybe have rejected esports or maybe not even been aware of esports to say, oh, you know, I know that person. I want to see that. I want to watch that. And it's, you know, it's opened up the door into esports, which has allowed us to reach this mass audience. So that's been a huge important factor to the acceleration that's going on in the esports industry.
What if anything did you learn about the television production of one of your tournaments? Anything?
You know, I would say that prior to where we are now, we had very much a focus on presenting our esports, utilizing the model that had been created by traditional sports broadcasts. Mm-hmm. Right? You have a play-by-play person, you have a color analyst, you have sideline reporters. You kind of present it in that sort of way. And where we have moved to, and we were moving this way prior to COVID, but I think it is very much accelerated, is a movement more towards entertainment. And that's a little bit different. So we're changing the tonality of our broadcast. We are, we're thinking about an audience that is sports fans, you know, that are not video game players. Mm-hmm. How do you speak to them and what do you bring to them? In the past, we might have done, you know, a deep dive analysis of play calling and, you know, why that was successful because we had an eye on video game players. But we've now really shifted to more of an entertainment presentation, which puts a focus on, let's just assume that the people that are watching are sports fans who've never played a video game before in their life. How would we package up what we want to do? And that means the features that we do, the talent that we hire, the tonality, the pacing, all those things we have been changing really rapidly over the last couple months.
Is that something that you view now as sustainable, that we can expect in NFL off seasons? Although the off season is, you know, obviously is, the off seasons have become more and more compressed over the years. I don't know how, but I suspect you would still be able to have guys available. What do you think about that? Are these things that you feel are a road, you know, a path that continues beyond COVID?
I absolutely do. I think that the marketplace has been changed for good. What we've seen is, when something is new, like esports, there are a set of people, companies who wade into that new experience and they test the waters out. And that's where a lot of people were. As a result of the lack of other programming that's been out there, people have waded in deeper and they are seeing the results. They're seeing how this content is performing versus, other content that they have. And they're liking the results. So I think you're going to see broadcasters, now that they've had a taste of what this is all about and have seen the reaction of their viewing base, they're saying, yeah, we want to continue that. And I can tell you that that's the case just because the dialogues that we're having about, with broadcasters about the future. The other thing that I'd say is definitely changing is the fact that now that we've, developed this fully cloud-based, broadcast technology, we would never have built that and created that had it not been for the circumstances we all found ourselves in, because there was no need to ever do that. But now that we have it, and it's actually quite robust, we now can say to, for instance, a celebrity, in the past we would say, okay, we'd like you to be part of an esports competition. We need you to get on a plane, fly here for a day, be in our studio or be in a location for a day, and then fly back home. That's a pretty high bar to reach, to get people to participate. Now, instead, we can say, hey, NFL players, for instance, we want to have a competition to see who's the best NFL player at the game of Madden. And all we want from you is a half an hour from your couch in your home. What we have learned from very early days of EA Sports is people who are athletes, they are competitors, and they always want to compete. And now that we've made the barrier of entry to doing that so low, I think we will see a lot of that even after they've gone back and are, participating in their seasons. Everybody has a half hour at night to go have some fun.
So if I had asked you about competitive, video gaming, and let's go ahead and use Madden as an example, but around Madden, but it could be just as easily around FIFA, a year ago, if we were having this conversation, even 6 months ago, if we were having this conversation, would it have been more about, hey, we want to get the best players of Madden in the world, and we want to get the best players of FIFA in the world, and that's what competitive video gaming is? Is that what it would have, the way you would have seen the world before? And what's the future for that now, if there's this other thing that, certainly has resonated with people? And I wonder whether those same people, again, there's a difference between me wanting to watch, one of my favorite NFL players against a celebrity that I'm familiar with versus two people I've never heard of before.
What I'd say is, when we started the competitive gaming division, we said that our goal was to know stars of all of our players. And the idea was that we wanted to create, the new stars for a new sport, and in terms of esports. And we still have that as our goal and our motivation. But I think what has changed is we are now appreciating that there are many different forms of competition. There is the standard, what I call authentic esports competitions that involve the very, very best players in the world. And what I can tell you is that unless you commit to studying the game, playing the game, training the game as a professional, you will not be the best players in the world. So if you want to see the very best play, or a Madden game or a FIFA game or an NHL game, et cetera, it'll have to be professionals that are making that their career. So that is always going to be a part. But I think there are different audiences that want to see different types of competitions. And so that's where we see another layer is, okay, we want to create kind of more like a pro-am, right? We want to take real life, traditional celebrity type of people and and utilize them to be part of the competition, but we want to marry them with the best of the best. I'll give, you know, the best example I can think of just recently in the traditional world is what the PGA did, you know, with bringing Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and, you know, Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson together. That's a perfect example right. of taking great celebrities from outside of the sport of golf and then taking the very best players in the sport of golf, bringing them together. And then there's kind of the level even above that, which is, hey, we're just going to make it celebrity-driven. And again, I think each type of competition has potentially a different audience. It may have a different distribution approach to reaching that audience. And so what I think the learning is, you know, for at least EA for certain, is to expand our definition of what esports is. What I'd say is that the industry is reacting in different ways. I'm referring to the esports industry.
Right.
As a result of COVID. Some companies are just shutting down, as in we're not going to run anything until we can get back to live events. Maybe they don't have the technology to run online. Maybe they don't have many other things that would allow them to execute in that way. Many other companies have moved all of their stuff to online, but they are still only doing those executions of the professional esports players playing. I think EA is one of the few companies that I think has seen this as an opportunity to expand the definition of what esports really is to reach, as I said, a mass market type of audience. And I think inherently what is allowing that to happen is the accessibility of our games. You know, it's really hard to reach a mainstream audience if you're doing a MOBA or a strategy game. Mm-hmm. And what I'm guessing is you probably don't even know what I'm referring to when I say a MOBA, because it requires such in-depth knowledge to even understand the terminology. What I think is much more accessible is saying, hey, you like the sport of the NFL, or you like soccer, you have an affiliation already with a team or teams, you have an emotional connection, you know the players, you know the rules. That is a much lower barrier of entry. And it's that accessibility of our games at EA that allows us to actually get to that mainstream audience.
The competitive gaming piece of this, EA is a game publisher, right? So the whole idea here is sell more games, get people to buy the game earlier, make sure that they don't want to skip Madden 19 to get to 20 or 20 to get to 21. All those things that would help you move product, right? That's, as a game publisher, obviously competitive gaming has to be a lot about that. Is it? Does that work? Does it work that way? Where do you see business benefits from being involved in the competitive gaming space?
I think there's really two ways to look at the value that competitive gaming brings. And one is the one that you just mentioned. It's as a marketing value to the company to acquire, new players of our games, get them engaged more in our games, and obviously to generate revenue from that. And we've absolutely seen that over the last 4 years. This is a great way of getting people to embrace our games. But it's more than that for what we're trying to accomplish. When we set up the division, we said we believe that this can have revenue that's outside of the game. Revenue through sponsorship, revenue through media rights, revenue through licensing fees. And these are all the revenue sources that traditional sports see. Mm-hmm. And so when we think of our business, we think of it through both of those lenses, but there's a very big focus, and I think it's more accelerated now as a result of this opening up to mainstream. If you can get a mainstream esport, and by the way, my definition of mainstream is any form of entertainment that doesn't require the viewer to actually be a player.
Right.
You think of the Super Bowl. I mean, that's the pinnacle of a mainstream event. What percentage of the people that watch the Super Bowl have ever actually put on pads and played tackle football? very small percentage. Right now, where we are with esports is that the majority of people are actually playing that specific game. But I think where we believe it will go, and where we've already seen signs, because every year we've been selling more sponsorships, we've been changing from a model. I can tell you at the beginning of the CGD 4 years ago, you know, we couldn't get anybody to pay for our content. Now people are starting to pay for the content. So things are moving in that direction, and we believe that in the end, this will become a very viable viewership media product, not just a marketing tool for selling the games. And I think, you know, that's what we see a lot of the sports leagues who we are partners with on our video games. That's their interest as well, because, you know, you, I'm sure, have talked about in previous podcasts and in your publication around the aging of traditional sports audiences. You know, the NFL fan, the average age is 50 years old. You know, Major League Baseball, the average fan, I think it's like 57 years old, whereas the average age of the esports fan is 26 years old. So, you know, a lot of the leagues are thinking ahead and thinking, we need to start developing and being part of a complementary viewership, you know, league or product that can appeal to a younger audience. And that's, I think that's a reality of what we're seeing.
Last thing I wanted to touch on with you, and that's, let's spin ahead to two openings. One would be the opening of the traditional NFL season, if it starts as is scheduled now. What might be different for you and in and your programming, really, is what it is, around that period, whether it's maybe around a Monday night football game or around whatever it might be, a Thursday night game, what you might do be doing differently this season than you would have expected to only a few months ago. And then again, how this things you've learned might impact what it looks like when you launch the new game.
Yeah, I mean, what I'd say is that we've always had a connection to our real world sports. And that can be talking about what's going on in the real world and then maybe replicating it inside the game, as we've done before, or, you know, bringing that into the actual broadcast. And so there'll always be that connection. Also, when we bring out the new game, there's always those connections as well.
Right.
For me, the, you know, I would be thrilled, obviously, thrilled with the traditional sports coming back, because what will happen is it'll just be even more fuel to the fire for people that want to consume sports-related content. And so kind of all boats will rise in that, as will all of our sports e-broadcasts. So, you know, what I will expect is that there is more of an interest in what we are doing. And I think what we've seen is by opening up the doors with a lot of traditional broadcasters in particular, we will be side-by-side with a lot of that content. Mm-hmm. And that'll just make I think esports go even faster. I can tell you that historically, you know, when we do a full year of our, for instance, our Madden competitive gaming program, our highest ratings are during the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And it's just because everybody's in the mindset of, you know, football, and they want to consume it in all types. And what we're finding is that people get energized by that, and they come and they want to participate and engage in the NFL or the FIFA or the NHL, et cetera. They want to engage in that at those moments in time.
So I probably shouldn't be surprised if the NFL season opens up and we might see, I don't know, a couple of celebrities playing each other on ESPN.
You know, we'll see. I think everybody is super excited about traditional sports returning. I certainly am. You know, right now we are filling a void that traditional sports fans are having. They're craving currently, because there's been such a dramatic reduction. And those people, though, are starting, I think, to appreciate this new form of entertainment. And so when traditional sports comes back, I think we will still, you know, still have those viewers. I don't expect, I mean, the types of viewership numbers we're seeing now, those numbers will come down when there are competitive entertainment options that are out there.
Sure.
But they're not going to come down to what they were prior to the pandemic, because I think we've kind of, you know, irreversibly for the good changed the importance of esports, you know, in the viewing landscape. As for the actual executions, yeah, I think you're going to continue to see three different types of executions. The first are going to be the celebrity-driven for fun tournament competitions, and we're going to do those. And now that we have this technology, we can do them relatively easily. You're going to see these crossover type of competitions, you know, that combine the very best players in esports with the very biggest names in traditional sports or just in traditional sort of, you know, celebrity. And then you're going to have these authentic competitions that are very, very engaging with the very best players in the world of esports playing. And I think, you know, we will find fans of all three of those different types of competitions.
All right, Todd Citron, SVP of Competitive Gaming for EA Sports. Thanks so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.